Yes, welcome everybody, welcome friends, welcome guests. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. Some doubted. But then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Father, this is the day that you have made. You have given this day to us, and we will rejoice. We have much to be glad about. But especially today, as Lord, we have three of our brothers and sister who will be getting baptized today, and we just rejoice in the work that you're doing in their lives and the work that you're doing in our community. We just want to acknowledge you as our Lord. We want to acknowledge you as the giver of life and the giver of new life. We thank you for the new birth that we can experience. Lord, we know the transforming power of the Spirit, and we're just so thrilled to know you and to be here this morning. And I ask that the name of Jesus just be honored and glorified today in all that we say and do. Amen. Friends, indeed, today is a very special day. Just to have three of our members getting baptized, Roz, Chris, and Alan, and they will be the first members to actually be baptized here at Mountain View as a combined church. So this is really exciting for us. And as I said, I thank God for what the Lord is doing in their lives as well in our community and fellowship. My theme for today is, I have decided to follow Jesus. Why do we decide to follow Jesus? Why does anybody follow Jesus? Is it because, you know, I have no choice, I feel forced to do it, I feel threatened to do it? Those might be some reasons that some people give, but those are not the reasons that we want to hear from people as to why they follow Jesus. We want people to be able to say, I follow Jesus because I know him and I know his great love for me. And when I read his word, I am absolutely, totally convinced that he is the Savior of the world and that he is my Savior. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He died on the cross for me. I trust him. No one loves me the way Jesus loves me. He has saved me. And I want to follow Jesus. That's why we follow Jesus. And without this faith, without this trust in Christ, this knowledge that we belong to him and that he belongs to us, that there's this real union relationship between us, yeah, we don't ask people to get baptized here. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't have that living relationship with him, then baptism will be of no avail to you. There's no magic in the water. There's no magic to this whole baptismal rite that we're doing. What is needed is faith. A faith that reaches out and accepts what Christ has to offer. A faith that says, Lord, I believe, and I'm not going to try to work for my salvation. I'm not going to live by my wits. I just realize that you have done this amazing thing on the cross, and you've invited me to become your child. And I trust you. And because I trust you, now I want to obey you. Now I want to be baptized. So it's really important, and we want to emphasize this over and over again. Baptism by itself just has no power. It does nothing to save you. You need faith in Christ. You need that living relationship with him. And it has to be your own faith. It can't be the faith of your parents. It can't be the faith of your youth group. It can't be the faith of your pastor. It's got to be your own faith. And once you know that Jesus is real in your life, then then you need to follow Jesus' directions. And his direction is that you be baptized. And if you want to follow Jesus, you need to be baptized because he calls upon his disciples to be baptized. It is an act of obedience. And today, those who are going to be baptized are saying to us, I know Jesus Christ and I want to obey him because he has said that he wants his disciples to be baptized. To follow Jesus is to follow him openly and publicly. Really, there's no other way to be a disciple of Jesus except to be open about your faith and public about your faith. And baptism is a public declaration. It's an open declaration. And what people are saying today as they come, come friends and witness. Be here. I want you to know that I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to confess him publicly as my Savior. I'm proud to be a follower of Jesus. I'm thrilled that he called me. I want to be numbered amongst his people. Come and see me do it. Come and hear me say it. This is what, it's public and it's open. And so it's very important, friends, that as we, you know, we think about being a disciple of Jesus and following him, that, these people here are saying quite openly, I am not a spy for Jesus. I'm not going to keep my discipleship a secret from everybody. I'm not going to be whispering in people's ear, by the way, I'm kind of a Christian. It's open now. And this is what baptism is about. It's just, listen, this is who I am. This is my identity now. I belong to Jesus. He belongs to me. I want to be open about my faith, and I want everybody to know it. Again, you know, it reminds me of what we do when we get married. It's public. It's open. We invite people to come out. It's an institution that brings out this commitment into the open. I commit myself to you, and you commit yourself to me. And baptism is designed for this kind of public commitment where not just the individuals getting baptized are saying, I commit myself to Jesus. But today, friends, Jesus is committing himself to those who are getting baptized. Today, Jesus is being open and publicly declaring, this is my child, and I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I am committed to you to the very end. It's a mutual commitment that is taking place here. There's no turning back. Baptism is also a commitment to follow Jesus completely. It's saying, I am all in. This is why we teach baptism by immersion and why I think it's such a beautiful picture. Total immersion of a person under the water. Every part of them must go down. Their mind goes down, their thoughts, their heart, their hands, their feet. Every part of us just goes down. That song that we will sing later on, I have decided there's a line there that says, no turning back. But I wish that there was another line in that song that says, no holding back. When I decide to follow Jesus, I don't hold back. I am all in. I read this story that I really think brings out the power of the idea of total immersion. Let me just read it to you. Centuries ago, when missionaries went amongst the barbaric tribes of Western Europe and converted whole nations, baptisms of thousands of people at one time was a common occurrence. But one thing the missionaries found was that many of these barbarians insisted on keeping their right hand out of the baptismal water when they were plunged beneath its surface. They were willing to become Christians in every aspect except one. They wanted their strong right arm left free to kill enemies and to use as they please. That's so insightful. They understood that when you're taken down into the water, There's a total commitment to Jesus Christ, to live as he wants you to live, no longer as you want to live. And today, as I said, friends, when you go down, one of the commitments that we're making is this total commitment, no holding back. All right, I'm not going to keep some area just for me and give Jesus 75%. All right, my future relationships, boyfriends, girlfriends, who I'm going to marry, that goes into the water. That belongs to Jesus now. What you do with your life, that goes into the water. What you do with your hands, with your life, it now belongs to Jesus. He becomes your identity and your Lord. Also, baptism speaks to us of our need for a thorough washing and cleaning. You know, I'm always struck in our society how we're so conscious about cleanliness, aren't we? We want a clean environment. We want clean water. We complain when there's not clean bathrooms. We tell our kids, clean your teeth or your hands. We're always talking about cleanliness, the externals. We're very into it, very germ conscious. Baptism reminds us that, you know what, the heart is also unclean. And the prayer that goes up is, create in me a clean heart, O God. Cleanse me as I go down. And cleanse me, keep me clean as I come up. And so all of us who are baptized or are getting baptized, we want to be very clear on this, that, Lord, thank you for cleaning me. In fact, you know, I always thought that it would be great to have two tanks on a baptismal Sunday. One tank full of dirt and mud, and that we would get people to go into that tank first, and they'd come out and you can see them, you know, for what they really are. And then later we have the baptismal tank where they go down into the water and come up clean. Because that's a picture of what God is doing in our lives and ultimately what will happen to us. And instead, we come from home, we take a shower, we're all clean, not smelly, and we just get more clean when we go into the baptismal tank. But it would be great to be able to have, you know, just that picture. Just think of it. I before I came to Christ, even my best deeds were as filthy rags. But he will make me clean. And I will pursue a purity of life and heart by the strength of the Holy Spirit. I would also say that, if we're going to follow Jesus, follow him quickly. When you know that he's commanding you to do it, what's the delay? Again, follow him quickly. Delayed obedience is disobedience very often. Get into the habit of obeying the Lord as soon as you know that he wants you to do something. I shared this this illustration a few years ago about going into the pool or the beach. There's two kinds of people. And especially when the water is really, really cold, all right, you always see these two different approaches. One approach is that there's people who just get to the corner of the pool and then poof, they're in. They're all in right away. They're all wet. It's done. There's other people like myself who hates cold water. First you get your ankles wet. And then you go a little further and a little further and you wait 10 minutes and, by that time everybody's so frustrated at you, they're splashing water and you threaten to kill them if they continue to do that. You get the picture. Some people they're in right away. Other people, they just like to take their time. And if I could encourage those of you who are getting baptized today, those of you who have been baptized, you know what? Jump in the water. Just jump in. Get it over with quickly. Be fully in. Follow Jesus completely. Just you know, as soon as you can, let people know who you are. Don't wait forever before they know it. Just, you know, just be fully in it. I now belong to Jesus. That's it. That's my life now. All right? From here on in, I'll figure out how it all works out, and I'll try to listen to what Jesus says, and I'll read his word, and I'll learn to follow him and discern his spirit, but I'm all in. Okay? And that's what I would encourage everybody to do. Just no turning back. Just all in. Follow him quickly. Follow him completely. And I would also say follow him in community. You know, there are times when we follow Jesus on our own. Other people won't join us. I recall when I was maybe 15 or so, I was dating somebody who was not a Christian. And when I was 16, the Lord got a hold of my life. But my girlfriend did not want to have anything to do with Christianity, with the faith, with... But, you know, emotions kick in, and and I was so confused about what should I do. I should I wait for her? Should I, you know, and I was prayerfully walking downtown Montreal, and there was this poster on a window bookstore, and the poster said, "If God calls you, do not look behind to see who else is following." I tell you, that was for me. I knew God was calling me, and I wanted other people to come too. I didn't want to do it alone. I wanted other people that I loved to come, but they weren't ready to come. And I just realized, you know what? If you hear the voice of Jesus calling you, you follow. Don't ask about others whether they're going to follow or not. You go. You do it. That's God's timing in your life. And he may have a different timing for other people. Yet for the most part, I would say, we follow with many other brothers and sisters and friends who just are following Jesus. And what a thrill it is to be in community. And lastly, I would say baptism teaches us what will follow us all the days of our lives. Today, really, two things are happening. We are being invited to a funeral. You are going to see somebody actually going down into their watery grave. Fortunately, they won't be in there too long, but that's what's happening. Today, it's a funeral. They will be going down. They're dying to self. Their old life is coming to an end. But today is also a day of celebration because it's a day of resurrection, and you will see them arise. And what Jesus is saying to us in baptism is not just what is going to happen to us spiritually and has happened, but also is giving us a picture that one day you will die. All of you, physically, you will die. And there's a promise, but I will raise you up. What a hope we have in Christ. What a hope there is as we look at this wonderful event of baptism. And so I just say, you know, when people are brought down into the water, just remember Jesus as well. They are in Christ. They are being brought down. And when they rise, get a picture of what God did for Jesus. And because of what he did for Jesus, he does for us. Amen? I'm going to ask our three members to come and briefly share their testimony. And so I'm going to ask Roz, ladies first, to come and share. And then Alan will come. And then Chris will come. And Chris will have a song to share as well. So, Roz, can you come up? What's that? Oh, sorry, honey, I can't hear you. You'll have to come up so I could hear you. Oh, you wanted a mic?
Good morning, everyone. So, anyway, I wanted to share my testimony. I was lucky enough to be born into a family of faith. And when I was a few months old, I was baptized to Jesus from the faith of my family. And their belief and strength in me has been with me my life. When I was 4 years old, I came to know Jesus. I learned from a Bible storybook about the thief on the cross and how he was going to be with Jesus in paradise. And then I asked my mom, did Jesus die for his sins then? And my mom said yes, and then she explained to me how you would be saved if you just put your faith in Jesus. And so I was like, okay then. And so then I believed in Jesus. And I was lucky to be with Christians who helped and encouraged me in my walk until I was 27 years old. And then I left that fellowship. I was born into a branch of Exclusive Brethren, and they had a strong belief in infant baptism. So that was what I thought was to do and remember. And anyway, when I left, I hadn't really even considered being baptized before. When the thought occurred to me, I was kind of angry. I was like, well, you know what? I was baptized. That's good. I remember Jesus in my life. I'm so happy. And it wasn't until God started working in my heart and I was reading the Bible and I just thought about the importance of repentance and repenting as an adult and then remembering Jesus that way. In Acts 3, it says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." And those who gladly received his word were baptized. In Acts 8, it says, "Those who were baptized first believed." And so I thought it's important sometimes to make a confession of faith as an adult with a full understanding of Jesus' grace and love in your heart for your baptism. And I was thinking, like, I was wrestling with it. I was like, is it really that easy? And I was reading about Acts 8, about the man from Ethiopia who was in his chariot, and then the apostle Philip came and preached to him about the word of the Lord, about Jesus' death, and hearing it, the Ethiopian man saw some water they were passing, and he said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe in your heart, you may." And I believe in my heart that I want to live my life for Christ, and I want to make this a declaration to those of you that are here and to everyone in my life. And so I have wanted to be baptized again as an adult. My important focus is to always focus on Jesus and what he would have me do in my life. I was thinking about it when I heard that the baptisms had been delayed, and it was like, Vic was like, here's an opportunity for any of you that might want to be baptized, and I just felt this feeling. I'm like, okay, that's you. So I said, I want to be baptized as an adult. This is a verse that I was thinking about this week that I wanted to share with you. It's in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And it talks about being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, which are the people, the men and women of faith before us that strengthen our faith as we're part of that Christian lineage. And it says, "Therefore, we are also surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside all that hinders and sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith." Thank you all.
Hello? Oh, hey, everyone. I'm Alan, if you didn't know. A bit about my story. I first heard about Christ when I was about 7. A friend of mine had invited me to go to an Awana program. It was kind of short-lived, but I ended up leaving the program with a sense that God exists. It wasn't until I ended up meeting Evan that I started going to church regularly again. I don't know how he ended up inviting me, though, but I guess he can be quite convincing at times. Yeah. Honestly, I don't feel too prepared for this. I don't have a ton of Bible knowledge or dramatic backstory you'd see at a Christian conference. What I did have, though, were a lot of people like Rika, Pearson, and Laura working in my life over the years, even recently with Ken discipling me. And I see now that God is working in my life, though I don't always give him credit when I should. The truth is, I feel sinful, and I'm sure I'm going to continue struggling with sin after this. But I want to show that I accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior of my life. I just hope that I can continue to grow in faith with everyone in the congregation. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. I was born and baptized into a Christian family. I had five brothers and three sisters, and I felt a personal relationship with God since I was very young. But I realized later on that it was more focused on the Father than on the Son. I have two children. I have a 30-year-old daughter and a 28-year-old son, who I have tried to bring up Christian and do unto others as they would have others do unto them. But I fell away from the church about 6 years ago, and I went through some misguided times. While I was still having God in my heart, but I had a poor understanding of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. About 9 months ago, I felt Jesus calling in my heart, not accepting some of the things that I was doing. And I went searching for him again. I went to several services of the church that I used to go to, but I always left feeling I'd fulfilled my obligations, but I was empty regarding the tools that I needed to be a good Christian. And I got invited to attend Mountain View in October by Ken Beasley and by Tanya. And I felt the Lord and felt welcome since I walked in the door. I've enjoyed the worship team, and the sermon by Pastor Vic was, and I was welcomed by many people I didn't even know. I was given a beautiful New Living Translations Bible by Ken, and introduced to Frank and Riyadh for prayer. I felt the power of the Holy Spirit come upon us, and I felt like I was on the right road to Jesus. Later that week, I was called by Frank and invited to attend private meetings with him to study the Bible. And my spirit jumped on the chance, and Frank has turned into a great friend and a teacher. During the third session with Frank, I was invited to let Jesus Christ into my heart in a way that I never knew before. And I accepted that. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit have been guarding and guiding my heart ever since. I am grateful for that. I am grateful for the new family of Christians that has adopted me, and I am proud to be part of them. I'm learning more about Jesus every day. I thank him for dying on the cross for my sins. I thank the Father for sending his Son to lead us, for guiding us, for shining his light in our lives. And I thank him for the power of the Holy Spirit to communicate to us, for giving us strength and knowledge. I pray that he will continue to lead us with clear vision, patience, and strength. Thank you.
Always.
Alan and Chris, I would recommend you guys just go right away. And Roz, especially you, because you're first up and, you know, you're going to need a little more time. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to have a video. And the video is going to be about that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Just to give you a little bit of the background of what that song is about. I hope it's not too dark. We'll see how it goes. But can two of you take this pulpit down so that we can get a clear... Thank you.
Rosalind, do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Not in your works, not in your wits or your wisdom, but in the Lord Jesus for your complete salvation.
I do.
On the basis of your testimony, I'm going to baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's see. Okay.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, have a super day. Is there any other announcements?
Okay, just come on up, David.
It's not an announcement. Okay.
I'm still waiting for witness of all people. Russ, if I can have you come up and Alan.
Hurry up, Chris.
Father, we continue to give you the glory because what we've seen here is all your work. You've reached down, you've touched Roz and Alan and Chris. You've brought them to Jesus in a way that they never experienced before. Thank you so much. Your children grow in faith and lead others to Jesus as well. Thank you in a special way for my brother Chris. And I ask that now that he's gone through the waters of baptism, leaving his old life behind, that you would anoint him in a very special way to go where you wanted to go, do what you wanted to do, and say the words that he wanted.
I hope all of you can stay for lunch downstairs. Trust Jesus and continue. continue to follow him and enjoy him.